Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bentner. Oh, booing. And Bentner. Seven. Nicholas Bentner rolls it in. And Arsenal are setting themselves new highs.
Hello and welcome back to In Lockdown, brought to you by Lavazza. Today we bring you part two of our candid chat with Nicholas Bentner. If you haven't listened to the first part yet, it's still available for you to go back and listen to now, before carrying on with today's show. Nicholas left Arsenal after 10 years at the club in 2014, and is back in the news after the release of his extraordinary biography, Both Sides, which is available to buy now. We pick up the interview with Nicholas looking back on his car accident in 2009.
Well, that's the next thing I was going to ask, because the car crash had a big consequence for you, didn't it, in your life and your career as well. That was in September 2009. You crashed your car on the way to a training session at London Colney. In a way, you were lucky to walk away, weren't you? But it affected your body long term.
It did. It was definitely the most defining moment in my career when I crashed my car. And it's been sort of like that throughout my career. It's been ups and downs, and every time I had a down on the pitch, it sort of I looked to get an up, but I might have looked the wrong places, as we spoke about just before. But it was definitely a career defining moment for me, crashing my car, and it left me out for a while, and had different surgeries after that. And still affects me to this day.
It's affected you ever since, yeah.
yeah.
But you did come back that season really strongly, and in March of that season, you were voted Player of the Month by the Arsenal fans. You were scoring goals, yet still, Robin van Persie was seen as the number one choice up front. That must have been so frustrating for you.
Obviously, it was very difficult having scored many goals at that time when van Persie was injured. And he was sort of the number one striker for Wenger. So when he got fit again, I got put aside. Obviously, that's a huge disappointment, as I thought I did really well at the time that he was out. So it was difficult. Of course, it was difficult. And when Percy sort of, he just kept going. I mean, his career at Arsenal just got better and better and better.
Yeah.
And he is a great player. I mean, so it wasn't like I would sit on the bench and look in and say, like, why am I not playing? I would say, okay, there's another great player too, and another obstacle and another way to try to even get better. But obviously, it's a huge disappointment when you do well and you don't get picked again.
But you scored 15 goals for club and country in 2009-10 season. So, you know, your form was great. Did you think at that time, yeah, my career's on track, I'm where I want to be? Or were you still not quite happy with your level at that time?
Well, coming back to what we spoke about earlier, I never set myself satisfied. I always want to try and see where can you improve, how can you get better. So there hasn't been any stage where I've said, okay, I'm settled, I'm happy. I've always wanted to try to push for more. And that's how I felt back then, even though I'd done great and I could say, okay, it's been quite a decent season so far. And quite a decent year, then I would look to what can I improve and do better for the next years.
So maybe that is linked, if you say that even when you're playing well, scoring goals, you're still not totally happy. It seems like you're always chasing something, aren't you? And maybe that sometimes is why you needed to chase it off the pitch as well.
It wasn't like I was chasing anything. I was just off the pitch. I was curious to learn about life and learn more. And on the pitch, I wanted to improve all the time where I could also learn more. So, I mean, it's more for me, it's more about improving and learning rather than anything else.
And at the end of 2010, you had your son, of course, Nicholas. But your private life at that time, which you write about in the book, wasn't great. And did that have an effect on your football as well?
It definitely did something to me. My life off the pitch at that time, on the pitch, I tried to like separate the two. But at moments, you know, you can have, you know, two worlds can crash together. And at some points that happened, but I always tried to keep it as professional as I could, and trying to stay unemotionally attached. But obviously that sometimes can be difficult. You can talk about like when you have a bad spell on the pitch, you know, you're trying to get out of it and you think, why is this guy not coming out of it? Now he's played bad for a month. Yeah.
Is that, as a footballer, is that frustrating? Because fans really only care about what's happening on the pitch, don't they? And there's not often very many questions asked about, why is this guy not scoring? Why is this guy out of form? And there can be so much going on behind the scenes. Did you find that difficult to cope with? Did you want to say to people, look, this is what's going on. This is why my form is like this.
Well, I haven't really outspoken much about stuff. And I think that's why I did my book too. So people could get an understanding. First and foremost, we are all humans. So we all have problems and things to deal with, no matter who you are. But obviously when you're a fan and you sit and you watch the game, you want your team to be successful, you want your team to win. So when someone is not performing, of course it's you start asking questions why. But I think you sometimes have to look to the bigger picture. You can't perform on the highest level every game at all times.
Did you want to try to explain about your private life, or did you want to keep your private life private, secret?
No, I didn't want to explain about my private life. I just want to keep it there. I mean, that little thing you have where you go and you focus on football. I mean, football for me, you have to see like it's been a way of pure happiness. Those 2, 3, 4, 5 hours I was at football, if you can put it that way, was 100% happiness. So it wasn't sometimes on. If things came really, really close, it could affect it. But that was like my free space. That was where I felt at home. It was where I was working with other people who was like-minded. And we all had that one thing in our minds, is that we need to win on Sunday.
And that was all your focus was on that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move it on. In 2011 is when you went on loan to Sunderland. You joined up with your old manager at Birmingham, Steve Bruce. Even though it was a loan deal, at the time, did you start to think, my Arsenal career is over, is coming to an end?
At that moment, I didn't think about it. I just thought about, okay, I'm going to Sunderland and I want to improve on my game and I want to try to improve my game and focus in Sunderland.
So your intention at the time was still to come back to Arsenal and to make a career at Arsenal?
Yes, it was.
And did you have the feeling from Arsene Wenger and from the club that was still possible at that time?
Don't remember it quite well, but we didn't speak very often while I was in Sunderland.
Because the next move is when you went to Juventus, wasn't it? And now,
yeah,
two loan moves away. You can be forgotten, can't you, by your club when you're out on loan? How difficult is it to stay in the minds of your club when you're out on loan?
I think it's different from each player. I mean, if you're a young player, then you have one sort of idea. And if you're a little bit older, you have another idea. But I think that's something the club deals with internally to see, Is he going through the development that we're hoping? How is it looking? Is it something we want to bring back? Is it something we want to have something to do with? I mean, you see many, many great players these days going out on loan because it's not the right match at the place they are at, but then they are completely successful at another place. And I mean, my Sunderland time was quite successful overall. Unfortunately, when I went to Juve, I got a very, very terrible injury that kept me out for quite a while. But I think that could have been a very successful loan spell as well.
Yeah, in the book, your injuries were beginning to sort of take over at that time. This is, I think, the place in your career from reading your book where it looks like a bit of self-doubt is creeping in, because you say, will I ever get as good as I should be? And is this the first time in your career that you think, I'm not going to fulfill my potential?
I mean, when your mind tells you you should do something, but your body don't react the same way, then you know something is wrong. So at that time, when I had that horrendous groin tear, I found it difficult. You know, it was a very difficult time for me, because I loved being at Juventus and I would have liked to sign there at the time. And that didn't happen because of my injury. I mean, that self-belief and you can do everything sort of thing, as you get older and as you felt how you felt, you sort of, you know, get into another space.
So injuries have played a part again, and you mentioned this earlier, that at bad times in your career, an injury would stop your progress and you know, stop you from moving on. Do you think that was linked to your lifestyle at all, these injuries, or did you ever speak to the doctors about it? Do you know why it happened?
Well, I don't think you can really blame lifestyle and injuries. That can happen on any different occasion. I just think that injuries played a big part in my career at times too, and came on unfortunate times. But I don't think you can link those two as a direct way of why I got injured.
And then you come back to Arsenal and you're close to joining Crystal Palace, aren't you? You talk about this as well. Right on the transfer deadline day, it looks like it's going to happen. And then Arsene Wenger pulls the plug because he couldn't sign a replacement striker. And you had a row with Arsene Wenger, didn't you, at that time?
Yes, we did. I mean, I was very, very happy going to Palace. And we were sat 4 days before the transfer window closed and had agreed on everything. And was just waiting to see if Arsenal could bring in another striker. Unfortunately, they couldn't, and I had to go back the next day. We obviously had a heated discussion on the phone due to I didn't want to come back and I would like to sign for Palace, but he couldn't let me go because he was thinking of the greatness of the club and the team. So we were both, you know, he was right and I was right in brackets, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, in your mind, you were right, yeah.
Yeah, because in that time, the ideal situation would probably have been if they would have gotten in another strike and I could have moved on to Palace. But that's also sometimes, you know, those career-defining moments. I mean, if I would have gone there, the situation would have looked a lot different. So I came back to Arsenal and I played for those, was part of the team, I would say, for 6 months until I think I scored a winner and got injured with my ankle. And then from that moment, I didn't go and play with the first team again.
Yeah, that was when Arsene tells you to carry on training, but on match days, you're free to do what you like.
Exactly.
How did that hit you when he said those words to you? How did you feel about that? Did it make you more determined to prove him wrong, or did you now start to think this isn't going to happen?
No, at that moment, I knew it was over. Completely. There had been too many things at that time that could solve anything. So for me at that time, it was about just keeping fit, training, trying to inspire the boys with some good mutes so they would have a good session, being professional. But obviously, it was very difficult not being part of the match day and just, you know, waiting to move.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, must have been a difficult time for you. In the book, you write, "I failed because I let other things get in the way too much, all the stuff off the pitch." Is that when you started to realize that? Was it just too late for you then?
At that time, I couldn't break into the first team though. That time was gone, and it was time for me to just focus on what the next thing could be.
Mm. But with Arsene Wenger generally, you had a good relationship, didn't you? You got on well. I mean, a lot of respect, obviously, for him. And you say he's the person that you least want to disappoint. So how would you sum up your time with Arsene Wenger?
Well, you're right there. I have a huge respect for him. I think he was an amazing manager. And what he did for the club, a club that I've always loved, was phenomenal. And the way he's thinking, I can look back now and saying, he never did anything for himself. He did always everything he could for the club with his mind on what is best for the club. And that's very admirable that he wasn't afraid of taking big decisions in the greater good. And I think that's one of the top traits as a top manager. Even though we had a disagreement, I have tremendous respect for him and what he's done.
Do you have any regrets that he didn't try to shake you when you were younger and say, come on, Nicholas, you know, this is what we want you to do? Or did he say that and it just didn't go through?
We had meetings about football and about life in general. He was good. We just didn't hit it off. And then I had some disappointments on the pitch, which was actually the thing that got me, you know, not starting in the Carling Cup final, for example, after having played a lot there. And other little incidents where you got disappointed in not playing. And then obviously this whole situation we spoke about for sort of just spun off of that too. Mm. The World Cup incident as well, when I went with Denmark and he told me to stay back to focus on my career in Arsenal. Yeah, so many things. But in general, we had a good relationship.
Have you spoken to him lately, recently at all, since you left Arsenal?
No, I haven't. It's quite old. No, I haven't. I've seen a few times, but not where we talked.
Mm, okay. And just talking of managers, you mentioned Mikel Arteta as well, don't you? About you said you don't think you've met many teammates with a greater managerial potential than Arteta. So you could see that when you were his teammate. I mean, why is it? What was it about him that made you think he's going to be a manager?
No, you're completely right there. It's just his whole persona, the way he always tried to improve, not just himself, but try to improve people around him, not just young players, but also the senior players, the way he carried himself and just his personality in general. You just knew that he would be a manager one day. And already now, the stuff he's doing with Arsenal, you can see him trying to put his own footprints in and doing it his way, and I really hope he will be really successful, because I would love to see Arsenal go back in amongst the trophies. So for sure, he always had great managerial potential.
You never tempted for that yourself, Nicholas? Any management opportunities? Did you ever see yourself going in?
Yeah, I'm doing the course in December.
So you do want to go into that?
Yes, for sure. And I think I love everything about football, so obviously I want to try to stay as close as I can. So just keeping your options open, if it's going to be a pundit or if it's going to be a manager, I think it's important just to take those classes.
I'm interested to know how you would, as a manager, have dealt with yourself as a player.
The important thing for me is that with my life, I've learned so much and experienced so much. So I think when I get players who also are curious types, then yeah. I hope that my uh, that what I've done can help them in a positive way, to try and understand that you might want to do this, but you have to think about your decisions and trying to take good care of them.
Yeah, you can talk about your experiences, I guess, and spell it out for them. But if we just move on then, after you do leave Arsenal permanently, you go to Wolfsburg in Germany, but you come back to Emirates, don't you, for the Emirates Cup to play once again at Emirates Stadium. And in this point of the book, you seem really full of regret here, that what might have been. You say, just think what we could have experienced together. You're talking about the Arsenal fans. What were your overriding emotions when you did come back to play at Emirates again?
It was a very emotional return with Wolfsburg. I think also due to, I always felt I could have done more. And I felt like I should have done more. So it was a difficult situation. But to hear the fans greet me the way that they did, that was a very special moment for me. I didn't expect that.
The Super Nick song that they were singing for you.
Yeah, exactly. And it put a great smile on my face, because then I sort of knew that they might remember all the good and not just the bad. But we did have some amazing times together, and I did have some very defining moments and defining games where I would win the game and stuff. So it really gave me a big red heart again.
Yeah, it was the relationship with the fans is something that I wanted to ask you about, because they took you to their hearts early on. Everyone loves to see a young player come through, someone who obviously is given everything on the pitch. How would you sum up the relationship with the Arsenal fans over time? Because obviously fans get frustrated as well. What would you say was your relationship like?
Well, they should get frustrated. If you're not playing well and stuff, I think they're in the right to get frustrated. You, as a player, you get frustrated too. But I think in general, I mean, I had huge respect for the fans. I thought they were always on our side. And every second they sang my song, or every second I could give them something back with a goal or a victory, was something special. I mean, there's not many people who get to experience that. And the fact that I have, and we have had that time together, is something special, which I hold very dear.
And you still got a good relationship online. I know you've got the sort of Lord Bentner nickname now, are you growing to love that yet? Because you didn't really like it at first. Did you thought it was a bit of like a figure of fun, did you?
It's been quite difficult to explain, because no one really knows what it is. But now it's taken to other players too. But that's more like a joke. I think obviously the relationship with my ex-girlfriend sort of brought that name on. But I just chose to embrace it.
So you're happy now with your relationship with the Arsenal fans online?
Yeah, I mean, from what I can see from my only, I only have one profile, which is my Instagram. Mm. Mm. I'm quite happy with it.
And there's so much more in the book after you leave Arsenal, lots more drama, more moves. And I really would urge everyone to go and read the book, because there's so much that we can't cover it all here, unfortunately. But it's obvious that Arsenal remains in your heart. And during when you were writing the book, how useful was that time to reflect on everything you did? And what would you say would be your main regrets from your time at Arsenal?
Well, my main regrets is that we did, well, I didn't do more. I would have loved to have done more there. That's for sure. I mean, the relationship that I built with some of the people there, with the fans and with the club, is something I hold very dear. I'm quite proud of my time there. But obviously you don't leave any situation where you don't think you could have done more. It's very, very common.
So there isn't a decision that you made that you look back on and think, I shouldn't have made that decision?
There's many. but I can't just pinpoint one and say, that's it, or that's the defining moment, or that shouldn't have I done and stuff, you know.
Okay, it's a combination of things. What about, let's talk about your finish on a high note, though, your happiest memories. You had so many highlights in an Arsenal shirt. What's the first things that come to mind when I ask about highlights?
We spoke about it earlier. Obviously, the Tottenham goal was a very, very big moment. And I just in general, I had a good time there. Not many people get to want to play for a club, then to play for the club and then have 60,000 people sat there watching your every move. That's something that's very, very special. And I'm quite pleased and lucky that I've been good enough to experience that.
And you mentioned that you're into doing your qualifications for coaching. Just tell us a little bit about what you're up to at the moment.
At the moment, I'm doing a TV show with my girlfriend. And then I have a book tour planned, which should have been this year, but unfortunately couldn't do it with the corona.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing my coaching badges. I'm playing all boys with my friends. I wouldn't consider that playing.
your playing career's finished, would you say?
I don't know if it's finished yet, my career days. But at the moment, I'm just enjoying football with my friends, and then we'll see what happens.
Thanks a lot to Nicholas for his time and, of course, his honesty. And as we mentioned, you can read much more about his career in his new book, Both Sides, which is out now. That's almost it for this week. Just a reminder to subscribe to In Lockdown via your usual podcast provider so you don't miss any shows. And we'd love it if you could leave a rating and review as well while you were there. Thanks again to our partners at Lavazza. Remember, if you're in the UK, you can purchase your favourite coffee at lavazza.co.uk. So we'll be back next Tuesday with another in-depth interview, this time with the BFG himself, Per Mertesacker. So until then, thanks for listening.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.